Warning, this episode contains 5% alcohol by volume. Listener discretion is advised. Coming to you from America's Wang, this is Florida Man, the podcast for Tuesday, October the 8th, 2019.
Each week we bring you stories from the shady side of the Sunshine State, starring America's most prolific criminal, Florida Man.
And in this week's episode,
methamphetamine is a family affair for two Florida women.
Florida Man has prostitute problems, according to his dad.
Florida Man and Florida Woman make heavy use of the redial button.
And a Florida Man sets a Guinness World Record for something usually associated with women.
Plus, a Florida Man food fight, listener email and V-mail, and much, much more. Now, Phil, we got some packages in the mail yesterday.
I like mail.
And actually,
there a cards with them or something?
There were cards with them. So I'll let you open this one first. This is this goes with the other box, and then the other box has the card in it. So what'd you get?
Peanuts. And I'm not. Who sent us the email about not eating on the air? So I'm gonna stop. Yes, it was rude. I will stop eating sunflower seeds on the air.
This is the other box.
I don't want to put this down.
You can set it on the ground.
We're not on the ground, Joel. We're in the studio. All right, this is like Christmas.
Yep. What did we get in there?
Sunflower seeds
and
jerky. We have restocked the we've restocked the closet.
And here is the note that came with it. If you want to read this,
a gift to you. If Phil is going to put my meat in his mouth, he might as well put some salty nuts in there as well.
That's from JP.
Well, I'll be damned. I just lost my appetite.
The other package here is for you as
well.
You're
damn right. I'm going to eat the hell out of them nuts there, JP. What is that one?
You can read the note first on this one.
Buy your own sunflower seeds from Heather. Eat a bag of dicks. A swear word coloring book for adults. That is fan-fucking-tastic. Shit in one hand, wish in the other, and see which fills up first.
Yeah, the other episode you...
Eat a bag of dicks. I swear we're coloring book for them. That made my night. Oh, shit, that is awesome. Maybe we could do one of these each week. This would be a whole lot more fun than your Florida fun facts.
What are we going to do, color them? That's going to be great for the radio.
Calm your tits. As fucked as soup sandwich. Oh, that is hilarious. If you are what you eat, then a lot of people out there are eating assholes. Oh shit, that is awesome. Oh shit, that is so cool. Thank you. It's like Christmas in October. All right, well, this is tempting as it is. I really, really want to put
JP's meat
in my mouth. Suck him some salty nuts, but I'm going to refrain.
We can wait till after the show.
So I don't get in trouble for eating on the air again. I may not be the smartest person in the world, but I do take instructions very well.
Yeah, that email came from Kelly.
Yeah, so Kelly, I'm sorry, all right? No more eating on the air.
I appreciate that, too. You know how hard it was? That was harder to do than editing out your ice clinking.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, and they still didn't get it all, huh?
Obviously not, no.
All right.
Because some of it, you're like talking through the food, and yeah. If I wanted to get the words in there.
All right, fine. I fucked it up, all right? I'm sorry.
All right.
I don't get presents very often that are, except for ones I buy for myself. So it's my fault. I'm sorry. Okay. I apologize.
All right. Well,
it won't happen again. I'll just eat my nuts off the air. There. I said it.
Okay. Apology accepted on behalf of our listeners and me. All right. Do you have anything you need to promote this week?
The only thing we got is continuing our open jam night. We have a lot of fun pretending we're rock stars out at CB2 on US 41 in Fort Myers. If y'all want to get out and come listen to some music, or you play instruments and you want to come hang out, we're at CB2 on right before you get to Page Field on 41, 8 to 11 on every Wednesday.
And on Thursdays, also in Fort Myers, I host the Geeks Who Drink Pub Quiz at Fancy Southern Cafe from 7 to 9 p.m. Once again, those are on Thursday nights, and it's free to play, and you can win food and other prizes.
We were there this week.
Yes, you were.
Yeah, and we quit.
You gave up halfway.
Yep, we quit. It was a hard one. I ain't gonna lie.
It was.
It was a bad one.
Lots of geography and
categories. You know, I don't. Sometimes I'm into it, and it was one of those that I wasn't in the mood.
Yeah, I get that.
You know, I was hungry, and I can't eat and obviously can't eat and do two things at one time. So I was hungry.
You had to wait for that protein to kick
off.
In.
I was pissed off at the world, and it was just better to call it quits. But maybe next time.
Story number one.
This comes to us from the Orlando Sentinel. Florida sisters busted for meth in separate incidents on the same day. It was a family affair, apparently.
It is. Yeah.
Two sisters were arrested on methamphetamine charges on the same day, 3 hours apart, in different locations, the Polk County Sheriff's Office says Sunday. I am glad to see Polk County back in the headlines. Yeah. We have not had one in a couple months.
We have not. And, of course, it's methamphetamine
there
charge.
There we go. Crystal Barnes, age 21, was arrested on a charge of methamphetamine possession in Mulberry on Thursday.
And her name is Crystal, and she's on meth.
Did I mess it up?
No, you said it right.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, you
know,
Crystal
her name's
meth.
Crystal's. You made a joke. Turns out 3 hours earlier, deputies had arrested her sister, Ruby. Ruby Barnes, age 22, 1 year apart, on charges of, wait for it, methamphetamine possession and trespassing.
So, Crystal and Ruby.
Yep.
They like the gemstones.
Apparently.
In the Barnes family.
Yeah, the brother Gold and
Opal.
Aunt Opal. Yeah. The cousin.
Diamond. She's the stripper.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the one they don't like to talk about, the black sheep of the family. All right. While the crimes are unrelated, Crystal and Ruby are related. We were told they are sisters, the sheriff's department posted on his Facebook page. At a Mulberry gas station, a deputy spotted Ruby Barnes in a vehicle, which happened to be stolen from Pasco County, with Joshua Abercrombie. No relation to the Abercrombie family or limited for the stores. Age 32.
Ooh. Got a young girlfriend.
11 years. His
Josh?
Is younger.
Doing good, Joshua.
The sheriff's office said. Ruby Barnes and Abercrombie were pulled over and arrested.
Wait,
well, they
were Barnes and Abercrombie? What
Barnes
happened,
and Abercrombie.
What happened to Fitch and Noble?
Yeah. Barnes and Noble. I guess, yeah, maybe Noble is the dirty uncle they don't talk about.
No, maybe.
Were pulled over and arrested. Well, how could they be pulled over if they were already spotted at a gas station? Oh, they left the gas station, then got pulled over. All right. Deputies say the two claimed they didn't know the car was stolen.
So what they did was they waited for the car for them to actually leave in the car so they could get them on a moving violation rather than just say, oh, we're just sitting in this car here in the parking lot. We didn't actually take it.
No.
So
that's smart.
This
isn't Polk County's first rodeo.
No, they know what they're doing there.
Abercrombie was charged with grand theft of a motor vehicle and driving without a license. Deputy said he's on probation for, wait for it, methamphetamine possession.
Seems to be a lot
of that going
around.
I'm seeing a trend. In announcing
the
arrest on Facebook, the Polk County Sheriff's Office took a joking approach.
No, not Polk County. Not Sheriff Grady Judd's team.
Replete with hashtags and a cartoon that has become a trademark for the department. Some commenters objected to the lighthearted tone, while others praised the department.
We fall on the side of praising the department.
I'm praising the department. You know
Absolutely.
What? You got to, you know, yeah, it's, yeah, you know what?
We wouldn't find this story if it wasn't for hashtags.
Nope.
Hashtags.
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 Yes. Not to be confused with hash browns.
Or the pound sign.
Yep.
Which there's a bad joke there. I'm going to refrain.
Octothorpe.
Is it really?
That's the original.
Octothorpe. 8 points.
Mm-hmm.
In a Thorpe.
You know what a Thorpe is?
It's the guy, that's the superhero that had the hammer, right?
That's Thor.
Oh, that's Thor?
Yeah. Thorpe. Take Thor and add a P-E on the end.
No, I've never heard of such. Mm. It also doubles as a tic-tac-toe board. Is that what Thor means? Thorpe?
No.
Means tic-tac-toe in Latin?
No. Octothorpe means, octo is eight.
Right.
And
Thorpe means?
I believe it means arms, but.
Arms.
But I'm looking it up now.
So I'm thinking it's Latin for tic-tac-toe. That's what I'm going with. Or Greek. Could be Greek.
Octos. Come on, man.
What are you doing? Nothing. Is that the new laptop?
$250? Yeah. I need to.
What have we learned from this, Joel?
That I need to take my Alienware laptop into Best Buy and have the Geek Squad put a new CMOS battery in it.
What are we looking for?
Don't worry about it. Moving on. Story number two. Florida man with, quote, prostitute problem, unquote, burns his car for insurance and starts a 300-acre brush fire.
Well, they say admitting the problem is the first step.
Well, I don't think he admitted the problem. We'll get to that in the story here. This one's from the Brevard Times.
Prostitute problem. Prostitute problem. Not addiction.
No.
Not habit. It's a problem.
Yeah.
It's a problem. Does that mean he's bringing the prostitutes home and embarrassing the family or what?
Well, let's see, because a Florida man was arrested this week for allegedly setting his car on fire for the insurance money, which also started a 300-acre brush fire in Port St. John, Florida.
It says here a bush fire.
Did I say brush fire?
You said brush, but it says bush fire.
It does. That's not Australia.
That's a big bush. I'm not gonna lie. Now
a 300-acre bush.
If we were in 1980, that would be acceptable.
Yeah,
but not here in the.
Now you need a landing strip.
Yeah.
The brush fire, and this sentence says brush, and the
I'm more of a water landing myself.
Okay, the brush fire threatened nearby residences, a horse rescue, and students, teachers, and staff at Space Coast Junior Senior High School.
Space Coast
could not be released at the end of the day. For their safety.
Fantastic.
On April 17th.
That's a bad day. That's a
yeah,
bad
when you got to spend any extra time in school, hell yeah, that's a bad day.
I'm talking about the guy that did all this. That's a bad day. I mean, it's all he wanted. All right, keep going because I got lots of questions.
On April 17th, the Brevard County Fire Department requested the assistance of the Florida State Division of Investigative and Forensic Services for the Bureau of Fire, Arson, and Explosives for a vehicle fire on an access road just off Gulfview Avenue between Flora Vista Place and Fay Drive in Port St. John, Florida. When the state investigator arrived, the Brevard County Fire Department was still actively fighting the fire due to the vehicle fire causing the nearby woodlands to catch on fire. Now it's woodlands. It's not brush. It's not bush. It's woodlands.
I never got a hold of some woodlands.
I do on my own every once in a while, but...
Just saying.
Anyway, investigators were able to determine that the burned 2012 Mazda 3 belonged to 41-year-old Roger Dwayne Garrett of Titusville, Florida. Got a listener in Titusville.
His name's not Roger, is it?
No, it's Patty from the plant park.
That's right. That's right.
When investigators were on the scene, Garrett contacted the Brevard County Sheriff's Office to report that his vehicle was stolen. Garrett told BCSO that the last time he saw his vehicle was the night before, at approximately 11 p.m. when it was parked in his driveway. Likely story. Garrett added that the keys were in the vehicle, but that he did not give anyone permission to take his vehicle. On April 18, 2019, BCSO and state investigators went to Garrett's residence. Garrett told investigators that he was current on his vehicle payments, but that he was not currently working and had been using his 401k account for money and that he was struggling financially. When investigators asked Garrett about the people he associated with, the Florida man said that he liked to hang out with prostitutes.
He's honest.
Hang out.
Well, they're good people. I've met, have I? No, that's strippers. I've not met any prostitutes that I'm aware of.
Well, that you're aware of.
Yes. I met some strippers. They were nice.
We have met a prostitute.
We have?
Yeah. At the Tiki Bar in Daytona.
That's right, we have. I didn't actually meet her. I just observed.
True. I did say hello to her when I didn't know yet that she was a prostitute.
So you hit on her?
No.
And you got rejected? That's bad, Joel. No, if you get rejected from a prostitute.
No, I was more concerned with that little ring game where you had to swing the ring on the on the string, try to get it to hook on the hook.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was kind of in the way.
So you're trying to hook up with the hook and you ignored the prostitute when you talked to the prostitute.
No, I had a different hook. I didn't need a hooker.
Oh,
I had a hook that was stuck in the wall that I was trying to catch
the
ring.
I'm so confused. All right.
All right. Anyway, Garrett told investigators that a woman named Lana, who was later identified as Alana Spangler, had stayed the night and had just left before the investigators arrived.
Her last name is Spangler?
Spangler. On April 19th, 2019, investigators received information that Spangler had posted a photo of a blue Mazda hatchback on her Snapchat account with the caption, "I'm about to burn this bitch down." Gee, wonder who took his car and burned it up. Investigators also...
But he didn't pay? Well, he didn't have any money. He's struggling financially.
Investigators,
so she stole his car and burned it?
Well, let's see. Investigators also received information that Spangler was bragging about burning the vehicle for the insurance money. On May 2nd, investigators met with Garrett's father, who stated that his son does have problems with prostitutes. Mm. Well, yeah, if they're taking your car and burning it up...
That's a problem.
That's a problem.
Problem? I don't want to hear about your problems. Everybody got problems.
Later that same day, investigators met with Spangler. She told investigators that she knew Garrett had burned his vehicle because he had told her he did it. Spangler added that Garrett had wanted to burn his vehicle for insurance money and that he said he had full coverage on the vehicle. Will that cover it? I thought if your vehicle is parked, your homeowner's insurance had to cover it.
I don't know. It depends on where it's parked. Like if somebody, it's in your driveway, then your homeowner does it. If you're out and about, then no. I don't think.
I thought your auto insurance usually only covers if something happens.
Well, do we have any insurance agents that we know that we can call?
I don't know.
I don't.
Write in. Let us know. Send us an email.
Right now.
FloridaManPodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, you can't right now because this won't come
out. We'll cover it in the next episode. Investigators were able later to obtain videos and photos posted to Spangler's Snapchat account. I thought that was supposed to be...
I don't do Snapchat, so I cannot confirm. I don't. I tried it once, and it was just too confusing. So
I thought the Snapchat, the whole thing about Snapchat was you send it to somebody, and then it goes away.
I don't know.
I'm so confused. A series of videos which show a vehicle pushing Garrett's vehicle were posted starting at 5:28 a.m. on April 17th, 2019. The video is being taken from the perspective of a person driving the vehicle pushing Garrett's vehicle. So
what I'm learning from this is these are horrible insurance fraud people that you actually posted all of this as you committed alleged crime.
Yeah, not very bright. At 5:30, oh, we already got that one. Investigators estimate that the value of the vehicle was approximately $5,000. Investigators say that the first responder labor cost to battle and investigate the blaze was approximately $19,000. Mm. Garrett was charged with second-degree arson, conspiracy to commit arson, burning to defraud. That's a new one.
Yep, I don't think we've had that one before.
No, conspiracy to commit burning to defraud.
Holy shit.
Insurance fraud, conspiracy to commit insurance fraud, illegal dumping.
Conspiracy for illegal dumping.
Disruption of a school function.
Oh, that's
another
law?
New one.
Yeah.
And disposing of lighted substance.
That's a new one as well.
Wow.
That is a plethora of charges, which we have half of these we've never had.
I don't think any of these we've actually had, unless maybe,
illegal dumping
we've had, and maybe insurance fraud, but none of these others.
Disruption of a school function is for, I didn't know that was a law.
I didn't either.
And disposing of a lighted substance, I didn't know that was a law. I thought that fell under arson, which apparently it doesn't, but he got busted for second degree arson. And how can you get busted with secondary arson without having the conspiracy to commit arson?
Well, the conspiracy comes in when there's more than one person involved in it.
Oh.
So if I were to go burn a house down by myself, I wouldn't get the conspiracy charge. But if I told you I was going to do it first, that's conspiracy.
Oh, and I helped you with it.
You didn't even have to help me. You just had to talk
to me about because all right, I got you.
All right. The Florida man was booked into the Brevard County Jail where his bond was set at $43,000. Spangler was not charged in the case.
Hence his problem with hookers. That's a bad day.
They didn't even charge her with prostitution.
Nope. Well, she didn't get caught.
That's
hooking.
True. She just said that she helped him push his vehicle.
And posted it all over Facebook, Snapchat.
Well, maybe she's
how is that
an
not
undercover informant. She's the rat.
You think so?
She was the mole.
She set him up?
I don't know that she set him up.
This is a conspiracy.
I think she saw that she was going to be going down for it, and she was like, I don't go down unless you pay me.
Mm-hmm. She copped a plea.
Yep. He copped a feel, and she copped a plea.
And on that note, we move on to story number 3, our trace for our Spanish-speaking friends. This comes to us from NBC-2.com. Florida woman arrested for repeatedly calling 911. Now, I do know that that is against the law.
Yeah.
I've never done it. But I do know that you can get arrested for repeatedly calling 911, in which case this woman did. A Florida woman was arrested for repeatedly calling and misusing 911 on Wednesday.
Now, a personal story here.
This isn't about your roommate, is it?
No, this is much, much more recent. This was I recently had to call 911 because my wife stepped in a pothole in a parking lot and fell and twisted and sprained one ankle and broke the other one. And she told me to call 911. And have you ever heard of fight or flight, the fight or flight response?
Yeah.
In response to an emergency, those are two of the, well, there's actually also, there's another one. It is freeze. And that's what I did.
You froze?
I froze. I did not call 911. And I think it's because psychologically I've got that you don't call 911. The cops will come out and you'll get in trouble.
So you froze.
So I froze.
And you got yelled at, didn't you?
No, I got made fun of afterwards because she had to call 911 for herself. They asked her, is the patient alert and breathing? And she said, I'm the one talking to you. I'm the one that I'm calling for the ambulance for.
This happened just just below us and down in Naples.
Yes.
Naples police responded to an apartment after a 911 call with a hangup. Once there, they found Maria Alvarez Mendez.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was good.
That had three Spanish names in it. You got
them
all
right.
How
about that, Matt from Washington State? Nailed them all three.
Yep.
Alvarez, the only reason I got Alvarez is because that's an old guitar brand, told police she called 911 to state an unknown 70-year-old man was harassing her. She said she was mad at the man. She was mad the man was no longer picking up her phone calls and wanted police to find him, according to her arrest report.
Wait.
So he's harassing her
by not answering her phone calls.
And she calls 911 and says, I want you to find this person.
Yeah.
Police left after telling her they could not contact the man.
Well, especially if she doesn't know who he is.
She argued with them and said the man was an evil person, but would not tell police why he needed to be contacted. According to investigators, several minutes after police left, she called 911 four more times and the non-emergency number several times for the officer to return to her apartment.
She really wants to talk to this guy.
The same officer responded, and Alvarez said the unknown man needed to be contacted, who was still not responding to her phone calls.
Bitch, maybe he's taking a nap.
Just better have my money.
Maybe he's at the movies and he's got his phone turned off.
Don't act like you don't know me.
There's so many reasons why you would not answer the phone.
She told police that the man promised he would marry her, and she was angry he wasn't responding and wanted to file harassment charges. Police left and told her not to call 911 again, and if she continued, she'd be arrested.
How is not responding to your phone call harassing you?
The police's fault. Yeah. Well, she didn't take the advice, and after saying she would not call again, she called 10 minutes later several more times. She yelled at the dispatcher and hung up the phone before calling again shortly thereafter.
Something tells me this woman is
police responded for the third time and arrested Alvarez.
Called dozens of times, apparently. Cops came
I think
times.
I know. I think I'm no Matlock in this, but I think I see why he may not be answering her calls.
You think?
Yeah.
She's a little tenacious.
Yeah. They didn't say how old this person was, did they?
No, it doesn't.
So he's 70.
He's 70, and I think there was a mugshot in here. Let's see. I'll put her if the mugshot is on, it'll be in the show art for this episode.
Bitch better have my money.
Oh, she's not even close to 70. She's looking at her. She could be anywhere from maybe like 29 to 45.
Oh, I saw her. Oh, yeah. I'm going with crazy.
Crazy and or under the influence of something. Speaking of which... It's time for the
Florida Man
Food Fight.
And this time we get our story from abcactionnews.com. And it's not actually a fight so much as an argument. And it's not so much food as it is a beverage, but I figured it was close enough. Florida woman charged with DUI for drinking White Claw while driving home. A Florida woman was charged with driving under the influence after being caught drinking a White Claw while driving home on U.S. 19 in Palm Harbor.
So she didn't have it in the brown paper bag?
She did not. Danae Morrison, age 32,
rookie mistake,
was pulled over by a Pinellas County Sheriff's Office deputy. If a cop sees you drinking something out of a brown paper bag, don't you think they're going to know what's in that brown paper bag and pull you over anyway?
That's circumstantial. They didn't actually see
But is there anything else you drink out of a brown paper bag besides alcohol?
It could be. That's circumstantial, though.
I'm sure they could get you for a busted taillight or failure to use a turn signal or whatever, get you under some pretense, and then when you're slurring your words and got alcohol on your breath, they could get you that way.
True, but she was ratted out, wasn't she?
No, I don't think so. She just, she was pulled over, after witness called 911.
Yep, somebody ratted her out.
Stating that she was swerving out of her lane while drinking a White Claw on Wednesday. Now, White Claw, that's the sparkling water with alcohol in it. Is that correct? I haven't never had one.
Yes.
I just see.
I don't know about sparkling water. It's just it's a very high alcohol content.
I heard it was like the LaCroix of.
Could be. Yeah.
Of malt beverages. After pulling Morrison over, the deputy noticed she, quote, had a strong odor of an alcoholic beverage on her breath, unquote, and that her, quote, hair was in a nest, her skirt was sideways, and her shoes were off, unquote. So she'd been having a good time.
Her skirt was sideways.
Her skirt was sideways, her shoes were off, and her hair was in a nest.
Mm.
Morrison, according to the arrest report, refused to take a breathalyzer test after telling the deputy, quote, If I do the breath test, it's an automatic DUI, unquote.
Is that true?
I don't know. If you blow 0.0, that's not an automatic DUI.
Well, she already knew she was drunk, so.
True. Well, the deputy said, despite refusing the test, Morrison did admit to having a drink 6 hours earlier and two while driving home, but argued they're only 5% alcohol.
Yeah, that's a lot for.
That's exactly the same as Budweiser.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No.
Budweiser is 5% alcohol.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was higher than that. I thought beer was lower than, I thought the alcohol content in these were higher than there was in beer.
No, beer's around, depending on the type of beer you get, it's like between 3.5 and 6.
Okay.
And I know Budweiser's just straight up 5. But Morrison learned the hard way that those hard seltzer drinks, while they might not taste very alcoholic, can get you too drunk to drive. She was charged with DUI and her bond was set at $500. You're looking it up, aren't you?
Nope. Maybe. It is 5. You're right.
I know.
I didn't say you weren't. I just didn't believe you.
You said, you literally said no. Yeah, I looked it up earlier.
Fine.
Story number 4. Florida man calls his ex 21 times a day while in jail for stalking her.
Hmm.
This sounds a lot. He needs to hook up with the girl from the story you just told.
I know, right? They could talk all the time.
Yeah, from the Miami Herald, a Vero Beach man already in jail on a stalking charge was convicted on another charge after 718 phone calls to his ex-girlfriend and 3 postcards addressed to a toddler. That seems excessive.
That's a bit much.
On Monday, Jerry Shelley, 30. I don't think I've made 718 phone calls in my life.
Oh, yeah, you have.
You
called me like 200.
No. I texted you, maybe. I don't call people. I hate talking on the phone. On Monday, Jerry Shelley, age 37, was found guilty and sentenced to 6 months in jail for a violation of a protective injunction. He'll remain in the Indian River County Jail. Shelley's ex-girlfriend, Molly Sigala, told the Indian River County Sheriff's Office on Wednesday about his phoned fusillade. Hmm? The toddler is Sigala's child.
Wait. His what?
Fusillade.
What the hell is that?
I don't know. Why don't you look that up? No, that's fuselage. The toddler is Sigala's child, but the sheriff's office said the messages on the postcards were actually for Shelley.
We'll have to copy it, spell it.
The phone calls, which averaged 21 per day, and postcards counted as violations of both the no contact order from Indian River County Court in the stalking criminal case and the protective order Sigala got against Shelley separately.
All right, here we go.
Fusillade.
Yes. A series of shots fired or missiles thrown all at the same time are in quick succession.
Kind of like a volley.
Attack in a verb aspect is attack or shoot down by a series of shots fired at the same time are in quick succession.
So like
we would use in the country terms, we would use the word
rapid. But it sounds like in those old movies when you had all the archers lined up and they all like released their arrows all at the same time. You see that big swarm of arrows coming out. That sounds like that would be a fusillade.
That'd be a lot of arrows. That's what we would call that.
Yeah, but they're missiles.
That would be a lot of missiles.
Yeah.
We would substitute that word you just said for a lot of.
Okay. Last Wednesday, prosecutors dropped the original stalking charge and replaced it with the violation of a protective injunction charge.
I'm guessing that's a little bit more.
I think so. In addition to whatever time he has spent in county jail, Shelley did a month in state prison for attempted arson of a home, 3 months in prison for trafficking stolen property, and 9 months for possession of methamphetamine and selling, making, or delivering meth. His last day with the state ended July 24th, 2015. According to an arrest report, Sigala told IRCSO Deputy Andrew Ward on August 10th that Shelley had spent the previous week harassing her with emails after she'd blocked his new phone numbers. Molly advised us Jerry steals credit cards and online bank account information, and he is attempting to force her into a relationship by blackmailing her with stolen credit card information, stating he is going to report her to the sheriff's office for dealing in stolen property, the report said. Jeez, this guy's a real piece of work. About an hour later, the report said Sigala contacted Ward to report Shelley had texted her and that he was outside her home. The deputy said when he got to Sigala's place 54 minutes later at 1:01 a.m., Shelley was leaving the neighborhood on his bike. Jerry stated that he likes to ride his bike this time of night, even though he lives 13 miles away from where he was stopped. Ward wrote, Jerry stated while he was riding his bike on A1A, Molly texted him to meet and he obliged. I wonder if they checked his phone to see if she actually sent him that text message. Something's telling me he deleted it. Ward still put Shelly in the back of his cruiser. He said a search of Shelly's backpack revealed a syringe, several empty dime-sized Ziploc bags, an electronic scale, 4 credit cards in the names of 3 other people, and another person's passport with a driver's license and email address.
That's very damning evidence. That's just circumstance.
He's holding them for friends.
Oh, okay.
In addition to stalking, Shelly got charged with possession of drug paraphernalia, unauthorized possession of a driver's license, and first-degree petty theft. Wednesday, Sigala went to the Indian River County Sheriff's Office to tell them about the phone calls and postcards. A check showed that over the previous 34 days, 718 calls had been made from Shelly's cell block to Sigala's phone number. Video showed Shelly on the phone at the time the log said Sigala's number was called.
So how does he get that many phone calls from prison? I thought you just got one.
No, when you're actually in prison, the phone is, I mean, it can make as many calls as you want.
All right. All right, let's move on to something a little funnier here. Story number 5. This comes to us from the Tampa Bay Times. And I don't know if this is going to be hilarious or gross me out. Florida man sets the Guinness World Record for, wait for it, the longest acrylic nails.
Like fingernails?
Yep. It's now official. Guinness confirms Florida man Odilian Ozer.
Sure.
Succeeded in his attempt to break the world record for the longest acrylic nails.
That's got to be something good
to
put on your resume.
Proud about.
Yeah.
This is the second time he has brought a world record home to Tampa. Ozer and his 4-foot-long multicolored nails earned a nearly full-page spread in the Guinness World Records in 2020 hardcover book recently released in stores. Appearing in the printed book is an honor that only goes to a select number of Guinness World Record holders. Take everything Ozer says with a grain of salt, even his name. As the Times reported in 2018, Ozer may or may not be the elaborate performance art alter ego of a Seminole Heights man.
So this is not even his real name?
Whoever he is, his records are real. He said it wasn't easy setting this one. At one point, I was hospitalized with a serious injury called a nail avulsion. Avulsion? Avulsion? Avulsion?
Sure.
The doctors told me I'd never grow a nail on that finger again. So I guess he basically pulled his nail out.
Sounds like it.
But I defied.
That sounds painful.
That's painful. But yeah. I defied all the odds. Congratulations, dude. And bounced back with the help of holistic healers.
Reiki.
Reiki, mm-hmm. Acupuncture, and some crystal work.
Really?
Also, Neosporin and a Band-Aid.
I wonder which of those 5 things actually
I'm thinking the crystals.
No. It's the Reiki. That's where they wave their hands over you with your spirit energy.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Not bullshit at all.
No.
Spirit.
He said he apprenticed under a, quote, real innovator of the craft, who goes simply by the name Shaniqua at her local nail salon, which is now closed. This is not simply. Simply by the name means the name is simple, such as Bob, Joe. Oh, no. Before spending more than 200 hours perfecting a method that would allow him to create such long acrylics without breakage. A Guinness spokesperson said the company sets strict rules for the nail record. They included stipulation that 2 professional nail technicians witnessed the attempt to confirm the nails were made to professional standards.
Now, Guinness does get very strict with conforming and complying to their standards.
We need to get the book. Is there what's the world's longest fart?
I don't know that that's something they've measured. It's got to be, but I don't know what it is.
Because I think I came close the other day.
Did you?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I have actually, I don't know if you have, but I have actually been part of a attempt for a Guinness World Record.
I did not participate. I was there, but I didn't participate in it. You talking about a Daytona?
Yes. Yeah, it was the longest Jeep parade. But because we would have had it, however, they stipulated how close the vehicles needed to be to each other, and one Jeep kind of let the gap get too wide, and they cut it off right there. So,
wow.
Yeah.
It broke down, didn't it?
No,
I think
the guy was just.
No, it didn't. Didn't he pull off the high? It was the high banks.
Yeah, it was the high banks.
And he got off, and didn't he get high centered or something on the banks, and he couldn't run.
No.
It
was just he needed to be going faster to go up on those banks, and he was kind of staying down. He pussied out.
All right. Ozer also had to submit video evidence that the nails were worn for at least 1 hour and show they were constructed from the same materials as commercially available acrylic nails and not, he said, like carbon fiber or something. Ozair burst onto the record attempting scene in 2018 when he set the world record for the tallest hat with a 15-foot, 9-inch tall top hat that is on permanent display at Ella's Americana Folk Art Cafe in Seminole Heights in Tampa.
That's got to give you a neck or back problem.
He made public appearances throwing out the first pitch at the Bradenton Marauders baseball game and ended and as a celebrity judge at the Wiener Dog races at Winterfest. Riverfest.
Wait a minute.
Winterfest.
Was that the Wienerfest? How do you get to be a judge at a Wiener Dog race? Did they either win or they didn't?
I know. I was about to say Winterfell.
And I'm like, oh, Jesus. But going back to the carbon fiber, they wanted to make sure they were actually acrylic nails, but not carbon fiber.
Maybe he should have gotten Valyrian steel nails.
Maybe they wanted to make sure he didn't get adamantium.
Could have been.
Like Wolverine.
I know. Oh, on top of that, he hopes the record will inspire others toward his, quote, level of greatness.
Oh, yeah. Totally great. We've heard of him, right?
My hero. Ozair said he has several other records and projects in the works, including a line of fashionable eyebrow extensions and the world's tallest high heel.
Not eyelash extensions. Eyebrow extensions.
Sorry.
No, you said eyebrow.
Oh, I did.
Eyebrow.
I said it right. Okay.
I can understand.
I've never heard of eyebrow extensions.
No. That's why he's invented this. But I've seen eyelash extensions. Those are pretty common nowadays. But
and he's trying to get the world's largest highest. I'm sorry, the world's tallest high heel. He claims to have
Gene Simmons with that one.
Yeah. He claims to have stocked a pond with hagfish and other slime-producing aquatic species in order to develop clothing fabric made from slime fibers.
I call bullshit on this one because hagfish are saltwater and a pond would be freshwater.
Well, it doesn't have to be. You could have a pond that's saltwater.
Really?
Yeah. Stocked a pond. I'm sure it's a small. It's like a little koi pond in his house. And I'm talking a big-ass pond.
Hmm.
It's like a koi pond thing in his house. I'm sure they thought the first guy to collect silk from a silkworm was crazy too, he said.
So he's admitting that he knows that people think he's crazy.
Yeah. Ozair said he was considering opening his own eyebrow salon in Tampa, but first hired a marketing consultant to check his Q score, a common measure of celebrity brand appeal.
So is an eyebrow salon, I know because my wife gets her eyebrows waxed and at the same salon that does her hair. I didn't know a salon for just exclusively eyebrows.
I'm out of my realm of expertise right now, Joel. I'm going to be honest with you. To his demise, the marketing company came back and said, they told me they never got a lower Q rating from a celebrity ever, he said. So I told him they're obviously not a legitimate company.
Well, maybe you're not a legitimate celebrity.
I got to see a picture of this dude.
Oh, the picture is the best. He's quite a character.
Oh, dear.
He's not wearing his 15-foot tall top hat, and he's only wearing a regular size top hat. But he does have the 4-foot nails on,
and they're straight. I thought they'd be curled, but they're not.
Yeah, like the.
So he glued them one on top of the other.
No, with the acrylic nails, they like build them up.
Is it?
Yeah.
How does he go to the bathroom?
That was going to be my question.
I mean, how'd he get the zipper down? But he only had to keep them on for an hour.
He's got them on his thumbs too.
Yeah. You got fingernails on all four fingers. All five fingers.
Florida man strikes again.
Oh, you got me on that one. It's the first time I'd heard that one.
Our final story tonight. Florida woman arrested after using her boyfriend's face as an ashtray.
Mm. This isn't going to end well.
No, this one's from The Smoking Gun.
My favorite.
And apparently The Smoking Forehead as well. Florida woman Heather Mayo, age 43, was arrested last night for domestic battery after allegedly stubbing out a cigarette on her boyfriend's forehead during an argument in their Florida residence. Cops allege that Mayo got into a verbal altercation with the 46-year-old victim upon his return home from work. After pushing the man several times, Mayo, quote, took her lit cigarette and extinguished it on the victim's forehead, unquote, according to the arrest affidavit. After being read her rights, Mayo reportedly copped to using her bow as an ashtray. Quote, Mayo admitted to being frustrated, unquote, and said she, quote, may have put the cigarette out on the victim's forehead.
I can't be certain. But
yeah. The victim, cops say, sustained minor injuries and declined medical treatment.
I might have, but that burn mark in the middle of his forehead, that's a birthmark. That had nothing to do with me, but I might have done it. I ain't gonna lie.
Mayo was booked into the county jail on a misdemeanor domestic battery charge. A judge has ordered her to have no contact with the victim. That's hard when they live together.
Yeah.
Mayo's rap sheet includes a pair of felony theft convictions and a misdemeanor theft conviction. Following a grand theft caller earlier this year for swiping clothing and costume jewelry from a Bell's department store, Mayo told cops that she copes with stress by stealing.
And she's not that ugly.
And apparently she also copes with stress by smoking and putting the cigarette out on her bow.
She ain't that bad.
Let me look here. I didn't even look at her.
She's prettier than the guy with the longest nails.
Well, that ain't saying much. How can you tell she's doing the fucking duck face?
I'm just saying she's not hideous.
I mean, she's got a nice rack. You're right.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. You can have
that. As far as I went. All right. Well, that's it for this week, folks. If you want to hear more, please subscribe to the podcast using the links in the show notes.
If you like the show, please rate us 5 stars and leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to Florida Men.
Like and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We are at Florida Men Pod.
And if you got a suggestion for a story you'd like us to cover, please send an email to floridamenpodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 567-432-9674. And as mentioned earlier,
here we go.
Kelly S. sent us this email.
The subject line, let's get it over with,
was "Stop eating! ! It's disgusting, and I'm about to stop listening altogether." And then in all caps, "Gross!"
I understand that. I said I was sorry. I apologize, but I was excited because we don't get a lot of presents, and I love sunflower seeds, and I overdid it. And I'm sorry. All right, I'm sorry, Kelly. It won't happen again. I'm sitting here right now. Next to a box of beef jerky, peanuts, and sunflower seeds, and I have resisted.
You have. I'm very proud of you, Phil.
And I've resisted. Now, I will tell you that I've had 3 glasses of Tito's, but...
And a Coors Light.
How's that Tito's sponsorship coming?
I haven't heard from them, but I did get a phone call that I need to talk to you about after the...
Are we in trouble?
No.
Oh, good. Okay. If you would like to... So, Kelly, I'm sorry. All right. Don't stop listening. I'm sorry, okay?
I'll make sure he doesn't eat anymore while we're recording.
If you would like to support the show financially, you can drop something in our online tip jar at paypal.me/floridaman, or to get early access and extended ad-free episodes and other cool stuff, you can subscribe at patreon.com/floridaman, or you can send us something from our Amazon wish list. And those are like Christmas here at Florida Man headquarters.
Yes, we appreciate. I love getting the alert from UPS saying you have a package delivery tomorrow.
So we've already done the, when's the thing getting dropped in for the, that we didn't win?
That was last week.
We already did that one?
Yeah.
Okay. I got kind of drunk on the last one.
We did two. We did a, hey, we won, and we did a, hey, we lost.
Yeah.
And I just cut out the one that said, hey, we won.
Oh, okay.
We'd like to thank our Patreon subscribers personally. They are at the Jacksonville tier, David, at the Tampa tier, Stephanie, Long Since Past Podcast, One Foot in the Grave Podcast, Kurt, Colin, Roxanne, Michael, and Matthew from Washington State. At the Tallahassee tier, Heather and Josh.
Woohoo!
Paradise After Dark Podcast, Erica, Koneth, Nicole, and Matt. At the Daytona tier, Katie and Jessica. At the Orlando tier, the Space Coasties, Steve and Danielle, and Bam! Lata. And at the Miami tier, Travis. And we have a new patron at the Tampa tier, and that is Kat.
Oh, sweet.
So thank you, now, Kat. We appreciate that.
Yeah,
So we're only 4 patrons away
only
now.
Only 4 away from having to really take this shit seriously.
Yes. So we would love to be able to register as a actual business. And that was our goal, was to get 25 listeners who are supporting us through Patreon. And that means we've only got 4 more to go. So if you want to be one of the 25 patrons who get to suggest and or vote on the name of the LLC that we're going to file with the state of Florida, and whatever you guys come up with and choose, we're going to register that, as long as the state of Florida doesn't come back and say, well, you can't do that.
Yeah. Dicks for Breath LLC probably isn't going to work.
Maybe if we spelled it for breath as one word and Dicks apostrophe for breath.
I did say, we were camping this weekend. This is our last weekend, so we had to pull the camper out. So we'll be here every weekend now. But, Steve was there and Danny was out of town. So Steve was by himself. Good job, Danny. Choosing the weekend we had to pull the camper out for you to be away. That was smart. Made Steve do all the work. Steve is now caught up on all the episodes. He binge listened over, I think, maybe a month and got them all 90-something episodes in.
That's the way to do it.
He is in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a future guest.
Sounds good to me.
So we need to, I'm trying to talk also our Patreon listener, Kurt, into coming in and doing a guest spot.
Well, we have a big milestone in a couple
weeks. Have a big one. We're going to hit 100 episodes.
Yeah.
And so maybe we'll, we got to start getting back and having guests as, having guests in the studio here.
Yes. And I have invited, Paradise After Dark to come back too.
Oh, do we have to? He creeps me out. He creeps me out a little bit.
Ken?
I'm just messing with you. Nah, they're awesome, man. That was, yeah, he's, they would, I'd love to have them back.
A lot of fun.
One thing we need to put on the list is we need a bigger damn table.
Okay.
So we need, I need you to start looking for like a 4x4 square table. And okay. let's use our money.
Okay.
If not a 6x6, well, 6x6 too big.
Or maybe like 4x6.
Something like that. We need a big table that we can put in here so we don't have these two little ones anymore. And actually we can have people around the table and.
So we don't have to worry about knocking the picture off the
pretty
the
much,
table.
Yeah. And we need some more wall space to put up our pictures and our fan mail from fucking Pennywise.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm keeping all these damn letters from these people that's all these things from Amazon where people sent us stuff.
Cool.
I just made that rule starting now.
Hey,
all right.
Sounds good to me.
And Kat, we appreciate you very much. Thank you for joining the group.
Yes, thank you.
This program is provided for informational use only. No warranty or professional relationship is implied, and no refunds will be granted.
Views expressed on this program are solely the opinions of the Florida Men Podcast and not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Don't take medical advice from a podcast. And do not imply an endorsement by our sponsors, spouses, families, employers, each other, or the Florida Board of Tourism.
Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or retransmission without the express written consent of Major League Baseball is prohibited.
This podcast was recorded at Southern Audio Production Studios in Fort Myers, Florida, and mixed on US 41 going about 50 miles an hour, drinking a White Claw.
And as always, we'll finish the night with the Battle of the Florida Man. And Tracy, it's on, biatch. It's October. Halloween is 3 weeks away. Your ass is mine.
You are so dead.
Yeah, I know.
Florida man, it might be crazy, might be stupid, he's a Florida man. He's got his feet in the sand while he works on his tan. He's got an annual pass to Disneyland. He drinks his beer from a can, he lives in his van. It's a mobile tiny house inside, it's Florida man. Florida man, might be crazy, might be stupid, he's a Florida man. Florida man, he's a dumbass, but we love him, he's a Florida man.
Florida man strikes again.